I appreciate the service this morning, what God has done, what He's doing here in our church, and I love it when God is at work. As we talked about this morning about being stagnant, we don't want that, but we want God ever moving in our lives and in the church, and that can only happen but through us, amen? And that we're being obedient to the Spirit of God. I asked the Lord, I had a message for tonight that I felt like the Lord had given me. And He told me to finish up what we'd already started. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3 tonight is where we're going to finish up in God's Word and give you part 2 to Who Am I? Part 2. So many times we get in a hurry and get ahead of God, but I never want to do that. I'm glad that the message God gave us this morning, that message is come and gone, and we can get something new from God tonight if you'll be willing to listen what God wants to speak to you. I want to read one verse in verse 12 here in chapter 3. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Here we see Moses has already seen the burning bush, and God has spoke out of that bush and give him a commandment, give him an assignment, rather, of what he wants. And listen to what the Lord says here in verse 12. And he said, certainly will I be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Let us pray. Father, I ask you tonight that you'd speak to us, Lord, through your word. Make it come alive to us. May it feed our souls. Lord, we're hungry tonight and we need something from you. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's out in your house tonight. Bless those that couldn't be here. Bless those that wouldn't be here. Help us always honor you in all that we do, and we'll love you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. In this chapter, I want to tell you that God has given Moses three promises here in verse 12, and that's what I hope we can deal with tonight, talking about who am I. And knowing who that we are in Christ Jesus will help us to grow tremendously in the works of Calvary and the works that He has done in our lives. We need to know who we are. As we've talked in councils with couples and individuals, there's always that question. I want to be what God wants me to be. How can I know the will of God? Then you need to know exactly who you are in Christ, so you can know the will of God. But here, the first promise that God speaks to Moses here, he says, I'll be with you. Number one, I'll be with you here in verse 12. No doubt Moses is scared. He don't know what he's going to have to face, what he's going to have to do. And a lot of times when God asks you to do something, you don't know what's going to happen. But I know if God's got enough faith to ask you to do it, He'll bless you to do it. Amen. He'll bless you to do it. Many of you all have stepped out on faith in careers and obligations you didn't know how it's going to work out. But you tried to follow the Lord's leadership the best that you could, and you have found out that God was in the middle of it. Amen? And sometimes we step out and we say, well, we've stepped out a little too quick, and that really wasn't God what He wanted, so we end up having to suffer for that just a little bit. But when He says, I'll be with you, I'm reminded of Jacob's dream over in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. He says, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places, whether thou goest, and I will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee, notice that, until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee of. And I'm glad He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will establish us where we're at. Wherever God sends us, He can grow us there. We need to make a commitment to God and to His service and say, God, here I am. Use me. Lord, if you need to send somebody, send me. Lord, here I am. I'll be a willing vessel and let God use you, and He'll use you in your life. If you'll commit to Him, He will commit to you. Amen. I'm glad we serve a perfect God that's a gentleman. coming. He ain't going to twist your arm behind your back and make you serve him. If you want to sit at the house, eat popcorn and drink coffee, that'll be all right. You can do that. But you'll sure miss out on the blessings of God. You'll miss out when God sends that promise by your way. It'll truck right on by your house and go down to somebody's house that's willing to do what he wants them to do in their life. But a lot of times we want somebody else to do that. But here Moses, he even said that, Lord, not me, surely not me, Lord, don't send me. There's probably somebody else that'd be better. Even other parts of scriptures we can read where Moses even complained about the way that he spoke, that he didn't speak plain. Lord, send somebody else. I don't talk that good, Lord. I don't have that plain of speech. Somebody else could talk better than me. I thought about when the Lord sent me to Vickers. I said, Lord, they could get so much of a better preacher that could speak with enticing words and maybe say something that would really make them feel good. But I'm glad that I listened to the voice of God when he said, you go down there and preach my gospel. I'll tell you what, if the church empties out, I'm going to preach the word of God and stand on the word of God. I want to lift him up. Why? Because if I lift him up, all men will be drawn in, not because of me, but my obedience to follow him. God will honor that, and God will honor your life. If you'll listen to what God wants in your life, he'll bless your life. I'm telling you this morning and this evening, you may not like the type of preaching that comes out of this pulpit sometimes. You may say it's a little too loud. It's not proper enough. He hollers and squalls too much. He runs around. He acts plumb wild sometimes. But I'll tell you what, when you take a bottle of Coke and you shake it up real good, all it wants to do is get out. You drop a Mentos in a bottle of Coke, it wants to get out. I'm just like a Mentos. The Holy Spirit's dropped his Mentos into my bottle, and I'm about to explode sometimes. I can't help it. That's what it's called, being excited in the Lord. I love to be able to look at people and tell them I'm in the perfect will of God. I'm not a perfect person, but I'm glad to be abiding within his will. Amen. I remember spending 10 long years in a desert praying and asking God for his will. Lord, where do you want to send me? Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, I'll travel and sing and preach your word. I'll travel all over this country. But every time I stood, every time we sung a song, every time I preached a message, I just couldn't be just complete in my life. There's always something lacking there. And I felt like, what is it, Lord? What do you want in my life? And I said, the last thing, Lord, that I ever want to do again is pastor another church. Lord, surely you could send Terry. He'd make a good pastor. Lord, use him. Don't use me. I'll go and be the evangelist. I'll sit on the pew. Lord, I'll back the man of God. Preach it, brother. I'll be the one, Lord, that'll sit there and back the man of God. But you better back the man of God. You better listen to me, man. He may choose you to pastor the next church. You may be the next preacher in this church. You never know. Sometimes we get stiff-necked and we say, I ain't gonna do it. Better watch what you say you ain't gonna do. I remember when I've pastored before and I thought, Lord, I never want to do that again. And I tell people, I ain't never pastoring again. Boy, have I had to eat those words. Anybody heard the old phrase, eat some crow? I ate it feet and all. I'm telling you what, when God purposed something for your life, you might as well just get ready. You might as well get to it. You might as well buck up to it and say, Lord, I'll do it if that's what you want me to do. I thought about the men that God put on my heart to choose in this church to be deacons. Not one of them said, I don't feel worthy to do that. Lord, not me, maybe somebody else. I ain't fit to do that. I don't, really in their mind, they probably thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want all that obligation. But when God chooses you, you might as well step up, because you're the man for the job. I appreciate our men that stepped forward and said, Brother Gary, I'll carry the cross. I'll carry that load. I'll be the one to be the example before the church. And I appreciate you men so much for stepping up for the cause of Christ. Imagine if Moses hadn't have stepped up here. It'd be like a gap in the Bible here. But God had a purpose. He wanted to bring his children out that had been oppressed. You know, there's people right in the church house today that are being oppressed by the devil. and they're being mentally oppressed by the demons of this world. And I got to tell, somebody told me about a family this week that they talked about that they've got a demon inside their home, and they're supposed to be born again. And they're talking about at nighttime that something would scratch the bottom of their feet so much that they could even feel it when they would kick back the covers. They feel like they could kick it off. I'm going to tell you right now, there is demons in this world, and they can't bother you. But I'm glad they cannot possess a child of God. If a demon shows up in your house, you need to look that thing right in the eye and tell it, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out. There's no room for you here. You say, oh, you're scaring me now. Boy, he talked about over at Jacob's ladder when he talked about in that dream, he could see them ascending and descending from heaven. If we could actually see what was going on in this church right now in the spiritual world, we'd all be scared to death. But I'm glad that right now God has hid that from us. Why? Because he needs us about his business. Let him take care of the spiritual business. You be led of God to do what he's called you to do. But I'm going to tell you what, if you live a life that invite the Satan into your home, if all you can do is watch dirty movies, scary movies, bad music, and all these different things, you're inviting the devil right into your home. So when the demons show up, don't start complaining. You let them in. I'm telling you, we need to live a life that would honor God. Amen. And I believe here Moses is on the backside of the desert. And I believe in his heart he's in a place that would honor God. And God has chosen him to lead this multitude of people out. You could be the next person to lead the multitude in Kingsport, Tennessee, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be. Have you thought about the Lord's blessed us to book Brother Ralph Sexton? He's going to come. There's no power in Ralph Sexton. There's nothing. He's just a man just like I am. But I know God sat down on that man one time, and they held a revival, I think, for about 18 weeks one time. And thousands of people were saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God sparked another spark of revival right here at Vickers Chapel that run about 20, 22 weeks, and we got to see thousands of people. Wouldn't that be wonderful, church? I think that'd be wonderful. And if you ain't concerned about the lost and them getting saved for the Lord, I'll tell you tonight, we need to be on the altars of God and saying, Lord, help me, that I would have a burden for the lost. Someday I'll preach a message on demons and the demon power of this world and try to help you understand all of that, but I want to go on tonight and tell you, he said, I'll be with you. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, here we see the priest, he's encouraging the people. He says, when thou goest out to battle against the enemies, and seeth the horse and the chariots and all the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Listen, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up and out of the land of Egypt. Amen. He'll be with you tonight, church. No matter what you go through, the Lord will be with you. Do you know his favor is upon your life? And he can use you in capacities that he can't use nobody else. I think about your places of work, where you guys work at. I can't work there. I'm not employed there. But God can use you where you're at. And those supermarkets you work in, or those convenience stores, or those wholesale store, wherever you're at, God can use you in that capacity. Now, you may not like it. You'll say, it's the awfulest job I ever had. Praise God, though, we got a job. I mean, get without a job, you'll want a job. Your bill collectors will want you to have a job. I don't know why, but every 30 days, them same bills come due, every 30 days. And they want money every 30 days. And so when I wake up on Monday morning and I don't feel like going to work, if I was to call my creditors, they'd say, go to work. I need that money in 30 days. Can I get a witness? That's funny how that works, ain't it? But we need to be committed so that God can use us there. That's his promises. I'll be with you, and I will work through you to win people to me. Isaiah 43:2, the Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Ever been in water so deep sometime you feel like you're going to drown? I ain't talking about physical water. I'm talking about the waters of this world. How hard it is sometimes. He said, and though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thou the fire kindle up against thee. Even when it gets hot to battle, and the devil's trying his best to bring you down and discourage you all the way, if you'll trust the Lord and give him time, he'll work it out. I tell people all the time, I've told my family, all things will work out in time. If you'll give it time, God will work it out. Our problem is we want to get our hands on it and say, Lord, let me help you with that problem. And that's what causes the delay and the answer that you need from God. He's with you. You've got to allow him to work. Get out of the way and let him in the way. Do anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? That's what we got to do in our lives. God has promised to be with you if you'll trust him. Number two, in this verse 12, the second promise he promises, that he promises a spiritual sign. Now we know what the Bible says over in Matthew 16:4. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no signs be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And as he lifted them and departed. Listen, God give a sign through Jonah when he went through into the belly of the whale, and he give a sign through that, and he also give a sign through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary and he preached to those souls and done all that for them. There were signs there given. But I'm telling you tonight, there'll be no natural signs given to you. You'll have to walk by faith to hear from God. When it don't make no sense, you're going to have to walk by faith. God, I don't know if you're going to do it or not. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what I'm doing? I'm just going to trust you anyhow. Have you ever stepped out on faith on something for God and really not even know how it's going to work out, but you said, Lord, I'll take the step of faith anyhow. And the next thing you know, God worked it out. A lot of times we'll be completely through it and it over with, and all of a sudden the Lord will remind you, got you through that and you never even thanked me for it. Oh yeah, Lord, I am so sorry. But before that, boy, we was praying, God, how I need you. That's the way we do, ain't it? But I'm glad he told Moses, he said, there will be a spiritual sign that when I bring you through it, you'll worship me on the mountain. I'm glad that if Vickers Chapel will get into that spiritual place for God, get in that preparation for revival, get our minds on God, it'll be unbelievable what God will do through this short revival that may last 2 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see this revival just spark off here at Vickers? I'd love for it to become such a story that New Center 5 would have to come down and see what was going on down at the house of God. We'd tell them some real news, not fake news. We'd tell them what was going on down here at the house of God, and we'd invite the whole world to come down and be a part of it, and God would bless their lives as well as he's blessing us. We don't seek for a physical sign, church. We seek for spirituality signs through the Spirit. God, speak to my heart. Reveal to me, Lord, what it is you want. Even this evening, I prayed real quiet. Listen, I said, God, what is it you want? Speak to me right now, Lord. And I'd waited, and I just listened. And all of a sudden, I heard the answer. I heard the answer. I just kept listening, and it just kept coming. If you're not having a relationship with that with the Lord, you need to get quiet somewhere and talk to the Lord and let him speak to you like he does. What does God sound like? He don't speak in an audible voice. He speaks through our hearts and speaks to us intensely that way and tells us exactly what we'll need to do if you will listen to him. Our problem is, church, we don't listen a lot of times. Ain't that just like some of our children? Sometimes you try to tell them what to do. You don't do that now. Don't go there and do that, and they'll go right down there and do it. Don't step in that mud hole, your socks will get wet. Whoosh. Is your socks wet? No. Water up to their ankle. Now come here, because I'm going to whip you for lying to me. Ain't nobody been there. It's just been me do that. I remember me and my cousin, his daddy bought him a brand new pair of cowboy boots. You know, when you're a young boy, you love cowboy boots. Brand new pair, just took them out of the box. Don't wear them outside, son. You're going to mess up your good boots. No, I won't. Boom, right outside. And when I remember the old days when you had to go down the driveway and go through the creek and back out to the road. Anybody remember that, or is it just me? Is that a Kentucky thing? It seemed like everywhere we went, we crossed through the creek. That creek was always real clear and beautiful, and you see little minnows swimming around in it, and I always wanted to be right in the middle of it. So me and him headed down there, boy, right to that creek. I said, wait a minute, you got your boots on. I don't care. Right out in that creek. We're wading around the water up to here, and his boots is down to here. His dad walked down on the porch and said, hey, boy, is your feet wet? No. I've seen him just walk over in the yard, rip a limb off. He said, come here. I thought, man, I'm glad them ain't my boots. But ain't that the way we are? God will be telling us to do something, giving us perfect leadership, sending the man of God to show us, giving us direction, and we got earplugs in and blinders on, and we go headlong right into it. The next thing I know, here I get a phone call. Oh, preacher, how bad it is. I almost want to say, I told you so. But God didn't call us to do that. Over in Genesis chapter 17, verse 2, he said, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. You remember the promise he gave Abraham? And I will multiply thee exceedingly. I told a young couple just today, I said, if you'll commit your life to Christ, he will bless you abundantly, just like he did Abraham. But it'll take a commitment to Christ. Amen. This day and time, people don't want to be committed anymore. Amen. The rate that we're going, now I'm telling you this to be a fact, church. The rate we're going, the traditional church will be gone in 20 years. This traditional meetings that we have and the way we hold services and things that we do will be gone. If we don't teach these young people and show them the power of God in our lives and show them what it means to serve God, they're falling by the wayside every single day. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days it'd be a great falling away. Men will become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What is that talking about? They don't want traditional church anymore. They want what feels good, sounds good, and makes me just live any old way I want to, and it'll be okay. I've been able to post a picture before too long. I probably will. Showing a service at a rock concert and showing a service at a contemporary service. The lights are off, the smoke machines are on, and the kids are going crazy. There's no difference anymore between the world and the church. I'll tell you what, I guess I'm part of the old school. I must be the old-fashioned one. I believe in old-fashioned worship. I believe in old-fashioned hymns. And I believe in serving a risen Savior, amen, that can bless us abundantly. I'm not into this modern way, this new time way. I ain't into these new version Bibles. I like the old King James Version. It stood good for 400 years. Never had been changed up till 1984 when they decided to come out with some kind of new version of Bible. And ever since they come out with that in 1984, they haven't stopped. There's a Bible for every single thing. You can be a homosexual and you can have a Bible. You can be a lesbian and have a Bible. You can be a soldier and have a Bible. You can have any kind a Bible that you want, they'll write a Bible for you that'll fit your lifestyle. But I tell you right now, when it takes out the blood of Jesus Christ, I want nothing to do with it. Nothing. I guess I'm old-fashioned. I'll just stick with the King James Version. I heard somebody say one time, well, if it was good enough for Paul to carry, I'll carry it. I thought, man. Really? But we get indoctrinated like that sometimes. Some people just get upset over anything. No matter what you do, paint the church, they get upset. Change the carpet, they get upset. Move the gravel around, they get upset. Let's not get upset about trivial things. Let's get upset when the devil's working in the church, and let's get focused on running him off. Amen. Instead of worrying about a building, this is just a building, brick and mortar. Someday it's all going to burn. It's all going to go away. I'm not going to be here, praise the Lord. We're going to be out of here. But yes, while we're here, God's given us these four walls, and we want to take care of it, and we want to honor it as a sanctuary of God, and we want to be good to it and be happy with it and take care of it. But we don't need to worship it, amen? We need to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, tear up the carpet and throw it in the parking lot. I'd be tearing it up tonight. Let me tell you something. I ain't worried about what this building is, what it looks like. I'm worried about the church itself growing in God. That's what I'm concerned with. You know, Moses, he didn't go and say, well, all of you all that's got a $50,000 income and above, God has sent me to lead you out of this oppression that you're in. Pack your bags, get your jet skis, we're heading down to the river. That ain't what Moses said. He said, God has sent me, the great I am, has sent me to lead you out of this mess. I'm telling you, Vickers, God has sent me to lead you from a dead state to a lively state. Amen. And I want to go with you, amen. We're in this thing together. This ain't about me, and it ain't about you. It's all about Him. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is work together as children of God, that God will get the glory out of our lives. In John 14:12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Ain't that something? It don't stop there. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father on his behalf. I'm going to the Father and saying, Lord, that's one of ours. Let's just pour out a blessing. Don't you like to be blessed in your life? I like to be blessed in my life. But you know what blesses me more than anything? Is when I can bless my daughter more than me. I'll never forget the first car I ever owned. The one the guy sold to me was broken in half, and I didn't even know it, so I couldn't even use that car. He was 280 ZX. I thought, oh, yeah. Yeah, boy, it's going to be good right here. First car, you know, I'm going to be picking girls up every night. This 280 ZX, it's going to be nice. I paid the money out, got the car, went down to the DMV, handed it across the counter, and there happened to be a state trooper standing there, Kentucky state trooper. As soon as that paper slid across, I don't know why he was there. The Lord must have put him there. As soon as it come across the desk, he stepped up, kind of looked over at that paper. He said, let me see that. Slid it over. I thought, oh, no. He whispered, walked out to me and said, son, I'm going to tell you right now. You try to put that car on the road and I'll arrest you. I was like, what? He said, I have ticketed that car and pulled that car off the road so many times that I'm tired of pulling it off the road. You better not put that on the road. I was like, what's wrong? He said, it's broken half right behind the seats. I thought, oh, no, you know, all this money I paid out. And I thought, well, there goes my ride, my black 280 ZX, my two-seater. Man, it's going to be wonderful. What is going on? Sure enough, got back. It's broken, too. I can't license it. I can't do nothing. So my neighbor finds out that I can't use this car. He just happens to have a 1977 Ford LTD, four-door, olive green inside and out. And he said, I will trade you even. I said, well, there goes the chick magnet. You talk about breaking my ego way down. But you know what? That ugly thing drove better than anything I ever drove in my life. It was wonderful. I drove it and got way down when I drove it. God has a way of humbling you when you stick your chest out. Amen? But we all had to start somewhere. And we started and we honored God and we tried to do our best for the Lord, and I could go all night on that story. But greater things He wants to do in our life, not just physically, but spiritually. When I saw the men of God with the power of God on them preaching in the pulpits and winning people to God, it sparked my heart as a young man. I was inspired as a young man and I thought, wow, that is what I want to do. And I'd sit like these young men back there, and you know, all these young boys in these church, sometimes they get their eyes off of the things and things that's not going on in the church. But I was sitting there watching the men of God. And I'm thinking, man. And watch people come and get saved and fall on the altars and watch the power of God on them. And I thought, that'd be wonderful. Lord, that'd be wonderful if someday I could be like that. And I can remember my young heart being pricked by the Holy Spirit because of that scripture right there. Greater things you'll do. And I began to hunger and I began to thirst after that very power of God. God started placing everything in place and getting me ready. I kept listening and I was making failure after failure after failure. But I could feel the power of God starting to bubble over in my life and work in my life. And God began to bring things together and started putting people in my life. Ravonda and I was talking the other day. I met her family when I was 15 years old. In that prime of my life, when you're really starting to mold into some things at that age, and from 15 to 17 years old, I watched their lives, watched that family, watched the power of God upon their preachers and their family, and it began to turn my life around. And all of a sudden, and then the Lord give me Ravonda, we fell in love, and all of a sudden the puzzle started coming together. And man, the fires of God lit up in my life, and all of a sudden all that I had desired and wanted to do for God, here come the call of God wanting to use me in my life. And God said, if you'll go, I'll put the power on you. And I said, God, I'm not much, but I'll go for you. And God's never failed me one time since He's called me. Amen. He's filled my mouth every time I've opened it, and He'll fill your mouth every time you open it. You ain't got to be a preacher to open your mouth for God. You just got to listen to the great I Am and say, yes, Lord, I'll go and do whatever you want me to do. And God will bless your life. I've never been great at nothing, but He's been great in me. And I dare to say you could say the same thing. Greater things will you do also. I'm glad the Lord shows up His presence in my life every single day. And the last thing I'm going to give you real hurry in this verse 12. As He told him there, if you'll look at the latter part of it, He says, and when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon the mountain. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about victory. That's what He's talking about. I'm going to bring you out and bring them out. You're going to have the victory over all of that struggling, all of that problem. I'm going to give you victory through it. And that's what He's promised to you and I in Genesis 22. The Bible says that in blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which are upon the seashore, and thy seed shall be possessed in the gates of thy enemies. 1 John 4:4, and He says, and ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But I like this last one here in John 16:33, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have the peace in this world, and ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Ain't you glad He's already won the battle? We've already won, church, if you'll read the back of the book. We've done won this thing. It's going to pay off. We just got to endure, amen, and do His works along the way, that God will be blessed by what we're doing. You can have victory tonight in your life if you'll live totally for God. Why? You may say, who am I? You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a failure. You're more than a has-been. You're more than a was-been. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. He's the reason you're the reason He was born. You're the reason. Have you ever thought about that? You're the reason He lived. You're the reason He died. You're the reason He got up. And you're the bride that He's coming after one day after a while. We're going to have the victory when this thing's over with. He's coming after His bride that has labored and toiled and went through all this suffering. It's going to pay off one day, church. I'm telling you, it's going to pay off. And high benefits, it's going to pay off. It's going to matter one day when we stand before God. Does it really matter, Pastor, what I do for God? Listen, it matters what you do for God. You are determining right now your future in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it's going to matter. When I get there, I want something that I can offer the Lord. Lord, it really ain't that good, Lord. I didn't do it exactly the way you wanted, but here it is, Lord. And He'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful just over a few things, just a few. But enter into the joys of the Lord. I'm going to make you ruler over many. I don't know about you, Brother Terry, but I think me and you are pretty well like-minded. I'm longing for those words, amen. Amen. That's God. What I'm in this thing amen. For, brother. Yeah. I ain't in this for a popularity contest. I ain't in it for a mega church. I ain't in it for everybody's praise and uplifting. I'm in it for Him, amen. That's what I'm in it for. People will come and go. Pastors will come and go. Singers will come and go. Lay members will come and go. But I'm glad that He'll never come and go. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go all the way. Even down to the end of the world, of this world. Now when we step off of this side, we won't be worried about easing off. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. When that day comes, we won't even be worried. We'll be able to take you by the hand and say, yes, Lord, and move right on out of here. Won't that be good? Amen. I tried to be a comfort to a man this morning, and he said goodbye on this side of life to his daddy at 1:35 this morning. He was pouring his heart out, and I told him I loved him and I'd be praying for him. I know how hard that is to say goodbye. It seems like, because of the physical part of it seems like it's goodbye forever. But we know if they've trusted God and we love God and we've trusted God, it's only so long for a little while. There's going to be a great reunion. He said, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Now I'm glad that when my daddy passed away in 1994, I took that treasure and I laid it up in heaven. And one day after a while, I'm going to be delivered out of this old mess and I'll get to see him again. And what a reunion that's going to be, amen. I don't know what that does for you, but that gets me pretty excited. I've missed him all these years, about 26 years now he's been gone. And every day gets a little harder, gets a little harder. Everybody says, well, does it get easier? No, it don't get no easier. You just learn to live with it. Some of you have lost loved ones in the last 2 years. You've learned how to just live with it. It don't get no easier. But we live for that promise. Amen. That promise of life eternal in heaven, where our loved ones are at. Church, I'm telling you tonight that Christ is wanting us to prepare for revival. He's given me a message for this coming Sunday. I hope that He'll let me preach it. And it's on revival, getting ready. And that's what this is. I want to preach a series of messages in the next month, getting ready for revival. I haven't told nobody this, but God's done revealed it to me and showed me that the last Sunday before revival, we'll be going into revival October, I think it is the 13th, or 14th, we'll be going into revival. That's a Monday night, but Sunday night, we're going to have a time in this house because we're doing communion that Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. You'll want to be here for that. The last one we had was wonderful. God moved in a mighty way. God's already starting to show me the things that are going to line up for these revivals. Brother, you seem like you got more of an insight than anybody else. No, I don't know no more than you know. But I do know the voice of God and when He speaks and what He wants for the church. I'm trying my best to stay in tune. I'm trying to stay where God can use me. I'm staying where God can speak to me on your behalf. And I want you to do the same thing. As we stand with our heads bowed for just a minute.